after the crossing of the sea in this week's parsha. So we know that the men and women split into different camps, as the pasuk says, "Vatam lahem Miriam." That Miriam sang with the women and played instruments. We'll discuss later on regarding the issue of Kalisha and Miriam. The answer is going to be very simple, even before we get to that. So we see here the fact that the women sang at the same time the men were singing after the celebration of the splitting of the sea gives us a Pesach, gives us an opening to discuss the issue of Kol Isha and Halacha, and to discuss perhaps some, in the last decade or so, some comments that were made by a number of different writers about whether one should be Machmer about Kol Isha and what is, seems to be the minhag in certain sleepaway camps and certain schools and things like that regarding being lenient. We're going to try to discuss all these issues as it pertains to Halacha L'maisa. So let's begin. As are most things, this is a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, in the context of discussing Erva, the issue of reciting Kriya Shema in front of a woman who's not properly covered, and the Gemara makes the following statement as well, Amar Shmuel, Kol Be'isha Erva. The voice of a woman is considered Erva, considered something that is not appropriate for a man to hear. We'll discuss the context in a moment, as it says in Shir HaShirim in Perek Beis, Ki Kolech Arev Umarech Naveh, that Shlomo Melech describes the beauty of the woman's voice to him, and therefore this is something he praises as something that could be possibly provocative. There is a Yushalmi in Chala, in Perek Beis, that brings another pasuk. The pasuk in Yirmiyah and Perek Gimel says, "Vayam mikoz nosa." The voice could be used in a provocative way as well. But we see two Gemaras: one the Yushalmi, one the Bavli, telling us that Kol Be'isha Erva, there is something provocative depending on the context of a woman's voice. Now, the one perhaps may conclude, based on the context where this Gemara is placed, that maybe it's only a problem to listen to a woman singing, a man to listen to a woman singing, if the man is saying Shema, or is engaged in Devar Mishu B'Kedusha, davening, learning Torah. Maybe that is something that's distracting when he should be focused on an important matter at hand. Maybe that is what the Gemara is telling us. However, we see clearly from most of the Rishonim and the Poskim that this is not the case. You look here in the Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Biyah, the Rambam brings this not in the laws of Kriya Shema, the laws of saying Shema, but he brings it, as we'll read inside in a second. He says, "V'amasakel afilu be'etzpa katana shal isha v'neskavel hanos v'mish nesachel makom ha-toreif v'afilu shmol kol ha-erva." Even to listen to a woman's voice is considered to be erva for a man. And we see the Rambam does not bring this in the context of Shema. We also look at the Rush here in Masachas Brachos in Paragimel. He writes in the very end of the Rashi scripture where he says, "Ki kolecha reif perish lishmoa velo le'inyan kriyashma." Says Rabbeinu Asher, the issue of Kol Isha has nothing to do with Shema. It's a standalone prohibition for a man to hear a woman sing, regardless of what the man is doing. There is a chuvas of the Be'er Sheva. The Be'er Sheva has a kuntras called the Be'er Mayim Chaim, and he cites Rabbeinu Yonah Brachos, who seems to say it's only an issue of Kol Isha when a person's reciting Shema. But if you're not reciting Shema, there's no issue of Kol Isha whatsoever. And the Mordechai in Brachos and Siman Pei cites Rav Haigon, who says the same thing. But we see from the Rambam clearly, and from the most of the Poskim and Rishonim, that we don't follow that opinion. The Shulchan Aruch is very clear as well. It's not brought in Hilchos Kriya Shema. It's brought in Hilchos Evan Ezer, which is talking about things that are not appropriate for a man to look at, you know, married woman's hair is uncovered, all these different types of things like that. So the Ramas, the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly that the singing voice of woman is erva, considered inappropriate for man, regardless of the context of what's going on. Yeah.
How do you know the Kol specifically means singing?
Good. We'll get to that in a moment. So the Rambam, we saw in his Yisurei Biyah, says anyone who has intimate contact with a woman who's an ervach, violates a law of an Isidor Raisa. That's what the Rambam writes in the Halacha before this, right? We'll move in stages. The Torah, we know that you cannot have a sexual relationship with a woman who's forbidden to the man. That's clearly Parshas Achrimos, other Parshas as well. That's the baseline. In addition, as the Rambam points out, the Torah made its own fence. A man or woman are not allowed to have intimate contact, even if there are no relations going to be followed. Chibuk v'nishuk, as the Rambam calls it, a loving, intimate type of physical contact between the two. That's on a d'oraisa, that's on a Torah level. The Rambam then says that not only is intimate contact usur, but midirabanan, as the Rambam says. The Rambam says you get makas mardus, you get rabbinic lashes for hearing a woman sing, but any type of flirtatious behavior is problematic. And one of these activities are listening to a woman sing. So you see the Rambam says the issur applies regardless of what the listener's intent or purpose is. Now the Stei Chemed writes the Mareches Kuf under Kol Isha in Osman Beis. He says that it's clear according to most of the poskim that Kol Isha is an issur derabanan. It's also mi derabanan for a man to listen to a woman sing. There's a sheet of the Prima Gadim who says it's asumi d'oraisa, but that is a das yachid. He is alone in that stance. It is asumi d'rabban. That will be important later on as we look for leniencies in certain types of areas when it comes to Kol Isha. Next, the Beis Shmuel and the Magen Avraham. The Beis Shmuel is the commentary here on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Both point out that only the singing of a woman is considered erva. He writes, kol erva, you see here on the side of the Shulchan Aruch over here, aval kol, this is not the line I wanted to see. He says, at the end of the Beis Shmuel, he says, kol dibor, mashi himashiva al shela shlomo gara tvei. So he wants to say, he brings the following point, that the what we're going to say about the, what maybe we'll say kol bish erva is referring to a woman's speaking voice. So he says, what's my proof for this? He says, the Gemara in the end of Kedushin Daf Ayin says that the Gemara suggests maybe I want you to send regards, you know, to a person's wife, to be shelas shalom, another person's wife. We discussed this issue in a couple of years ago in the past. Because I want to be sent to shelas shalom, please send regards to your wife. So the other responds, and the Gemara says, I can't, that's kol b'isha erva. It's inappropriate to listen to a woman speaking. I can't send regards to, you know, this person's wife. That would not be appropriate. So what does that mean? You can't listen to a woman speak? That doesn't seem to be the reality. So the Rashba and the Meir and the other Rishonim explain that it's only considered to talk without singing is considered erva when you're engaged in licentious conversation. If the type of conversation is considered not appropriate between man and woman, then yes, kol b'isha erva, because you're hearing a woman speak about things that may not be appropriate. That type of speaking is usur. But singing, regardless of what it is that you're singing about, regardless of what the song is about, regardless of what the context is about, says the Rashba, is usur. So that's the differentiation we see here in the Beis Shmuel, the Rashba brings. A man listening to a woman talk without singing, if the conversation is not appropriate, that type of even regular talk without singing is usur. But any type of singing, regardless of what you're singing about, that is going to be usur. That's what we mean kol b'sherva when it comes to singing, says the Rashba, says the Beis Shmuel. There was an article in Tradition, volume 46 a few years ago, in which Rabbi Moshe Lichtenstein, who's now the Roshiva in Gush, has a very, very difficult explanation. He wants to say that the Rashba and the Rambam want to say that no, it depends on what you're singing about and how this singing is being brought about. That is against all of the Rishonim. The Rashba does not say what he's saying, the Rambam doesn't say what he's saying, and he wants to come out in a very difficult way to say that.
You have to keep period of time. Look at the Sweden Rambam and the Islamic world of Tenth, you know, anybody in Spain, which is Middle Ages, people had no connection. Even 100 years ago, look at women dressed in New York, nobody would, they couldn't weave their ankles. So in terms of what we call licentious behavior in 1,000 years ago, it's certainly different than today, especially if you say it's rabbinic, it certainly could be
true. But we see from the Rashba says that when it comes to singing, it's regardless of what it's about.
Because singing per se in that time period, people never hear the woman's voice singing. I mean, if you hear Chavi Willock, she used to sing all the time. I mean, Morty Willock's brought sister. I mean, you know, she has, nobody would even raise a habimina, you know, that she was trying to accent, just because nobody...
True, but what we do have is, we do have the Shulchan Aruch who makes the same differentiation,
other things didn't change, like, you know, certainly there are people who don't do tefillah, so there are people who feel, you could say how when circumstances change, that palacha may not apply.
I can't say that because I don't see anybody else throughout history making such a differentiation. until
until very recently you didn't have that. Women stayed inside their
I that may be the context of certain areas, but here when it comes to Kol Isha, we do see that in other halachos, we do differentiate based on the time and place when it comes to issues of modesty of women. But when it comes to Kol Isha, the poskim are consistent in every decade that there's no differentiation regardless of the context that singing is considered erva for a man. That's, we don't see such a differentiation over time.
Don't go to the limit. You have no Orthodox rabbanim who have permitted, who are leading scholars, you're saying, hearing a woman sing.
Correct.
So, no, nobody.
No, you're correct. No, for sure. We'll go through everything right now.
Okay.
The,
And all people from Italy, from Germany, from no Orthodox rabbanim are permitted.
Who are considered reputable poskim? We'll get to the opinions as we get through the discussion. The Maharsha notes that we see that Elisha spoke with the Isha Shunamis and Navi as well. Eli HaKohen had a conversation with Shmuel's mother, with Chana Shmuel's mother. So the Maharsha points out, we see throughout history that there was normal conversation had between men and women. And the only issue here is when it comes to a issue of singing. So look here in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, he says, "V'asher l'shmoa kol erva olirosh sa'arav v'meskaven la'achad me'elu hadvarim makin osamakus mardus." And a person could potentially get lashes if a person has kavana for potentially inappropriate things in such a context. And the Beis Shmuel says it's only with a woman who's an erva, meaning a relative. The person can have a physical relationship with a relative, so that would apply as well. We'll discuss sisters and mothers and daughters in a second. And an Eishes Ish, somebody else's wife. Those are physical relationships that a person is not allowed to have. Now, the Be'er Shev and the Be'er Maim Chaim, cited by the Be'er Heitiv, says that the Isra applies to a single woman as well. Even a single woman who technically, a person can marry a single woman, it's not considered an erva, the prohibition applies there as well. The Magen Avraham writes in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Ayin Hey, the Mishnah Berurah as well, says it's mutzer to listen to a single woman sing without any question. They say you're allowed to listen to a single woman sing. So Rav Moshe has of Shuvin Arachayim and Yirgos Moshe in Chelek Aleph and Siman Chavav, he says it's mutzer for a parent to attend a Beis Yaakov ceremony in which the girls in the Beis Yaakov are going to be singing. There's no problem whatsoever because it's all single girls. Says Rav Moshe, though, one caveat, they can't be above the age of 11. Because by the age of 11, there's a possibility that some of the girls have the status of a nida. By that point, they've begun the possibilities to be a nida. And a nida for a man is an erva. A man cannot have a physical relationship with a nida. And therefore he says, until the age of 11, the fathers can go and attend for the girls singing in the Beis Yaakov. There's no problem hearing them sing. But after the age of 11, since it's technically an issue, possibility of erva, because the issue of becoming nida, then it becomes a problem from that point on. Similarly, all the posts say it's also listened to a non-Jewish woman sing as well, all for the same types of reasons. Let's talk about relatives very quickly. On one hand, we have the Mekilim, which I think is the Minhag Olam, the Mishpat Sefer Mishpat Zahav. He records that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach felt there was no issue hearing one's sister above the age of Bas Mitzvah sing. It's recorded in the Sefer Halicho Shlomo regarding Zmiros. When it comes to other singing, Rosh Shlomo Zalman felt one should be Machmer. He felt maybe only when it comes to relatives, when it comes to Zmiros, to holy Jewish songs. When it comes to non-Jewish songs, Rosh Shlomo Zalman felt that maybe that would be a problem even for relatives. The Sefer Birur Halacha over here quotes that he heard that the Briska Rav would have everybody would sit by the Briska Rav's table on Shabbos, sons and daughters, singing Shabbos Miros, and the Briska Rav would simply close the window to the outside so people on the outside couldn't hear his daughter sing, but they had sons and daughters singing together at the table. Rav Ron Feldman, the Rishumei Aaron Chelikov, writes the name of Moshe, Mutter La'adam L'shmoa Kozemer Shalachem. So there's no problem whatsoever listening to one's sister sing. The understanding is that even though there are Isuri Arayos, even though technically a person is not allowed to have a physical relationship with his sister, but in this case, we are makil when it comes to sisters, for example, issues of yichud. There's no yichud with one sister. Physical contact, chibuk v'nisha, give your sister a hug and a kiss. So since we see there are already leniencies when it comes to one's sister, or even one's daughter, one's mother, these types of issues, because you grew up with the person, there's no context of any inappropriate thought, any hirhurim, anything like that, because of the way people are brought up together. Therefore, in this case as well, we are liens as well. Rav Shechter says the same thing. Halacha l'maisa. There's an interesting chiddush from Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, who is the dayan of Eidach Haredes, in his Shuvas Evin Yisrael, in Chelek Tes, in Siman Samach Gimel, who says that there's no Isra Kol Isha for a Kol Ragil, for a singing voice that you have always heard since the time that you were very, very little, which is an interesting chiddush. And he says this is the reason why we'll be lenient when it comes to sisters and mothers and daughters as well, because this is the voice that you've heard going forward. There are no hihurim, no inappropriate thoughts, because this is a kol ragil, a voice that you have heard all the time. Let's turn now, and then he makes one more comment. He says, to not have your daughters sing zmiros by the Shabbos table is bad chinuch. It takes away their ava of Shabbos and avodas Hashem, and avodas Hashem, and therefore you must have your daughters sing zmiros by the Shabbos table. Let's go to the machmirim. The Chazon Ish is quoted in a number of svarim being machmor when it comes to brothers and sisters singing together. And the Shevet HaLevi in the Chelek Yud says there's a problem of Kalisha if the brothers can hear the sisters singing during Shabbos Miros. And Rav Yitzchak Ritzabi, who's head of the Yemenite community in Bnei Brak, and there's Olas Yitzchak in Chelek Beis, in Simon Reish Lamed Zayin, Lahoris Nasam, the Avnei Yashva, the Be'er Sarim, and Chelek Aleph are all machmor as well. And many, there are poskim, certainly from the Bnei Brak community, who are machmor when it comes to this issue. But certainly the minhag in our communities is that we are lenient when it comes to direct family members. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is quoted in B'mechitzas Rabbeinu, one of the Sfarim by his students on page Reish Chaf, that there's no issue of kol b'isha erva when it comes to a father listening to a daughter. And he says this was the practice of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer's daughters would sing zmiros by the Shabbos table, and the Chassam Sofer would listen to his daughter sing. No issue whatsoever. Let's turn now to recorded or issues of the radio. So, what do we have to say in this context as well? So, we'll turn now to the Mekilim, and then we'll turn to the Machmirim. Amongst the Mekilim, first is the Chuvas of the Ma'aram Shik, the Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. The Ma'aram Shik, in his Chuvas in Evan Ezra Siman Nun Gimel, was writing about the issue of Shelas Shalom, the man or woman sending regards to one another through speech, someone who's not your wife, to send these type of regards. Again, this is something they were machmir more in the past. And he says, in this context, he says, there's no issue of Kalisha if you don't know what the woman looks like. If the woman is sending me regards, but I can't see her, so there's no issue whatsoever of kol isha. For example, the Gemara in Megillah Tesvav says that men would be so overcome by emotions when they would only hear the name of Rachav Hazona from the beginning of Sefer Yoshua. So they'd be so overcome. So the Gemara says, well, I say Rachav Hazona, and everything seems to be fine. Nothing's happening when I say her name now. So the Gemara says, because you never saw her. If you would have seen her, you would have been so overcome by simply hearing her name. So we see from the Gemara that if you don't see the person, you don't know what the person looks like, then her voice will not be effective in this way. Then the Sharos Yeshuvas Beis Sha'arim in Orach Chaim and Simavam and Gimel writes about a phonograph, which in his day was the hot new invention. And he writes that if you heard a woman singing on a phonograph, it's not usher medina. He says, I can't tell you that it's usher, really, he says. It's certainly not usher. He says, it's a davar mechuar. He says, I don't think it's nice to listen to women sing on the radio or your iPad or whatever it may be. He says, but it's not usher, he says, because if I don't know what the woman looks like. And he brings a proof from the Gemara in Sota Daf Ches, which says, De'ein yetzer hara sholeit ela b'mash in avros. There's only Yitzhara if you can see it. But if I don't have an imagination of what I'm seeing, of what's going on, when I just hear a voice, then there's no issue of the Yitzhara.
Is it cool altogether?
What?
Is it cool altogether? Like, you wouldn't listen to a show on the radio or a gil on the radio.
I didn't see anybody say that it's not considered a kol al pi halacha. They seem to be saying that there's a distance, because the whole issue is that if I don't have an image of the person singing,
because if you say it's kol, we generally.
I don't think it's kol in the context of other areas of halacha, like when it comes to like fulfilling somebody through mitzvahs and things like that. The Sefer Shali Dekait and Simon Peites says Rav Shlomo Zalman felt there's no isser of erva hearing a woman sing over a recording. This is the opinion of the Or Letzion, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, and famously Rav Avad Yosef in Chelek Aleph in Yavi Omer Simon Vav. He says Yichal Mismach Adibri Makilim Bezeh Venira Dal Kopanim Imrad Surasa Betzmuna Ein Lahakal Bezeh V'Chashin Lahar. He says, if you've never seen a picture of the woman, that you can listen to her sing forever. If you've never seen Barbra Streisand sing before, if you've never seen a picture of Barbra Streisand before, you can hear her sing all day long through a recording. But once you know what she looks like, you're not allowed to do it. He says, don't tell me that we live, you know, he's writing in the 1950s, 1960s, that, you know, now we hear women's voices all the time. We shouldn't be worried about hihurim, as Kamasha Kasov, de ragil b'kol mutter. I don't know who he's quoting from. He says, he quotes someone who says, if you're ragil b'kol, then it's mutter. He says, she'ein lanu lomar dvarim elu midatenu. We can't make up things. Kol she'ein mefurish b'shasu poskim. He says, we see from the Gemara and the poskim, throughout the Rishonim and the Achronim, that we don't say nowadays that, you know, just because, you know, we hear women sing around us all the time, therefore it's mutter. When we have a clear din in Shulchan Aruch. Even if you've never seen her live in concert, just a picture. He says, "Asher l'shma kola the gramophone or the radio." Avlim ena makira mutter. If you've never seen a woman sing before, it's fine. Vein bezemi shum kol b'yisherva. There's no problem of kol b'yisherva in such a case. It is well known that Ravaj enjoyed the music of the female Egyptian singer Kultum, who passed away in 1975, and we have many records. For example, in the Torah Journal or Torah, they record that Rav Avadya Yosef would always listen to her music, this Egyptian woman who sang, because he never saw a picture of what she looked like, and he loved her music, and he had no problem with it as long as he was unaware of what the singer looked like. Those are the Mekilim in this camp. There are Machmirim. The Chalkas Yaakov in Orachayim and Simulaman argues that there is no such Hetzer. He says that the issue of Kol Isha is not the possible Hurim afterwards. Rather, it's the benefit itself, the getting Hana, the enjoyment of the voice itself. This is a minority view of how we look at it. We generally understand Kol Isha to mean that if I hear the woman sing, then the man will have inappropriate thoughts about the woman. It's not the Etzem, the Hana itself that comes from it. And he says the Shevet Halevi and Chela Gimel and Chela K also feels there's no heter listening to recording as well. And the questioner in the question to Rav Osner wants to say that all radios should be usher in the home because it's Bittel Torah and all types of things. So Rav Osner says, I don't think we can go that far, but he says, I don't think we should listen to women sing on the radio. He cites the Beis Sharim, he disagrees with his logic, and he says the Maharam Shik wasn't talking about singing in the first place, there's no proof from him. And Rav Nissen Karel says also Machmer as well. The poskim note that there is no issue of kol ish for a woman. Even though the Sefer Chassidim writes in Tafrei Shadalad that a woman shouldn't hear a man sing, but Rav Osner writes, as does Rav Avadya Yosef in that same Shuvah, he says men and women don't operate the same way, and the way they think about people singing is not the same context of how men and women think about the opposite gender, and he says there's no issue of kol ish for a woman. Let's turn now to the most famous Shuvah ever written on Kol Isha, and that is the Shuvah of the Sridei Eish Rav Chilak of Weinberg. We can't read through the whole thing. We don't have time. So I'm going to summarize his tshuva and explain where people misuse his tshuva and use it in the wrong way. Let's begin. Sridei Eish Chelek Beis Simen Ches. And he was asked by a group, Yeshurin. Yeshurin was like a B'nai Akiva type organization that existed in France after the war. And men and women, young men and women, would sing together in groups on Shabbos, like NCSY, Kumsitz, singing together. And the Haredi organizations in France were giving them a hard time. How can you do this, Kol Isha? It's wrong. And they wrote to Rabbi Weinberg asking him, what should we do in this case? They're telling us we're doing the wrong thing, but this is what we do, and this is what the children in our groups, this is their only connection to Yiddishkeit. If we don't let them sing together, they're not going to come. What are we supposed to do in this context? So the Sridei Eish responds that when he came to Berlin, he was shocked to see on Shabbos men and women singing Zmiros together. And he goes through much of the above sugya that we discuss, and he proceeds to give the following defense of the minhag that he saw in Germany, and applying it here to France. He says that the approach of men and women singing together comes from Rav Hirsch in Frankfurt and Rav Zviel Hildesheimer in Berlin, and they followed the reasoning of Trei Kalei Lo Mishtamai. that if I have two voices singing together, then I can't pick out whose voice it is, like we find, for example, by the sounding of shofar and things like that. I can't pick out whose voice it is, and therefore it's not considered as if I'm hearing your voice. I can't identify this particular sound of singing belonging to this particular person, and therefore there won't be any issue of a man hearing a woman sing in such a context. So Sridi Yesh felt that this was not enough of a heter. He says that to extend this to Kol Isha, we find it in individual areas, in certain areas of halacha, but we don't find in the Rishonim or the Achronim extending the idea of multiple voices together when it comes to the prohibition of a man hearing a woman sing. But he says this is one possible leniency, but on its own, he says, it's not enough. Then he gives the second thing. He says he saw the Seichem, who brings the reason the name of a Rav Sfardi, who allowed men and women to sing Zmiros Kodesh together, because singing Jewish songs, a person won't think about inappropriate thoughts. And he says, this is heter number two. Again, he doesn't think it's enough on its own, but if you're singing Jewish songs, holy songs, then we won't come to think inappropriate thoughts in such a context. In addition, the Navi says that Barak and Devorah sang the Shira together after the battle and victory, and yet the Sridi Yesh felt that this was not of a heter, enough of a heter on its own. And the case of Barak and Devorah, that was Hashras Hashchina, she had Nevuah. They said, we don't have Nevuah nowadays. You can't say that, you know, Barak and Devorah, they had such, they were allowed to sing together, and therefore we're allowed to sing together. Not the same level of types of people. Bnei Yisrael makes a similar comment about how Miriam sang with the men by Kriyas Yamsuf as well, and the Poskim and the Mefarshim with all types of fancy reasons. The answer at the end of the day is there was no Kol Isha because Kol Isha is an Issur Derabanan, and there was no Issur Derabanan before Matan Torah. So that's why there was no issue of Miriam singing together with everybody else. The third heter is the Ramah, based on Ketosis and Kedushin, says that certain things, if they're done L'Shem Shemayim, it's mutter. And he says if it has a certain aspect, doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. And he's bringing the context of different aspects of men and women being involved together in different activities. So the Sridi Yesh says, I want to combine three heterim together to explain to you why in France there's no problem. He says, if it's multiple people singing together, men and women singing together at the same time, combined with the fact that you're singing Zmiros Kodesh, holy Jewish songs, and it's for Kiruv Rechokim, which is the ultimate L'Shem Shemayim, because if these young people don't have a place to go to sing together, they're not going to be involved in anything Jewish, and they're going to leave Torah and Mitzvos, and this is a very difficult time for Jews in Europe after the war. He says, come all of these things together, he says. He says, generally we have the principle of Eis Lasos Hashem Efiro Torah Sacha, right? When you need to act on behalf of Hashem, we can be lenient or break certain aspects of the Torah. He says, I can't make new Eis Lasos Hashems anymore. He says, that they had in the time of the Gemara. I can't go and uproot the Torah. But he says, we're dealing with the Derabanan, with these three reasons combined together for Kiruv Rechokim, multiple people singing, it's all for holy Jewish songs, therefore we can invoke this principle, perhaps in this case. And therefore he concludes, when you have these three factors, it would be allowed. And I saw it in the Madani Shlomo, Rosh Hashanah Zamar Avach felt, that one could also rely on the Sridi Yesh for cases of Kiruv Rechokim in the same aspect as well. So this is the point we want to point out. And that is that often the Sridi Yesh is misused and abused as a heter for all different types of things to go together, where you'll have, they'll say three girls will sing a solo together in a school production or a camp type of production, and that will be okay. And they'll invoke, why is this okay? Because of the Sridi Yesh. Maybe somebody else says that, but it's definitely not the Sridi Yesh. It's not fair to the Sridi Yesh to use his tshuva for something that he doesn't say. You need all three things. Kiruv Rechokim, it needs to be holy Jewish songs, and men and women singing together where you can't identify a particular voice. They say three women, 10 women, they make up these numbers. The numbers have no reality because the Sridi Yesh shouldn't give a number. It needs to be a group of people singing together. I want to make a number of ha'aros just as we wrap it up. Rav Pesach Falk, who's the Rav in Gateshead, writes in the Levusha Shel Torah, he discusses young women in school or on a bus who would like to sing. So you have an all-girls school, or you have women, girls on a field trip, and they're going somewhere, they want to sing songs on the bus. So he says, if it's the case of a Jewish bus driver, he doesn't think it's right to put the Jewish bus driver in such a position that the girl should sing in the bus, and he's driving the bus. Now, this is the important point I want to make. Often there's a misconception. Kol Isha is not an issue for the woman. people say a woman can't sing because of Kalisha. That's not true. The Kalisha is a problem for the man. It's an issue for the man to listen to the woman singing. If the women want to sing, then it's the men's responsibility to get up and leave. It's not the woman's responsibility to not sing. That's the issue sometimes where it comes up, that the issue is for the men to go and hear. If a woman wants to sing, by all means, go ahead and sing. The men's responsibility is not to stay there and listen. And therefore, he says, for example, if you have an all-girls school, and let's say there are rebbeim who teach in the school, there are men in the school, is it going to tell me that for, you know, 5 days out of the week, the girls won't be able to sing at all in the school, and have to be, they can be no singing whatsoever? You can't function in a girls' school that way. They should be allowed to sing, and there's no problem whatsoever. The rebbe in the school, the male in the school, should be yevshar v'lo mechaven. He has no choice. He has to be in the school. He shouldn't have kavan. He should try to do something else. And in such a context, he says that there's no issue whatsoever. Do you have a minute yet?
We have 8, 9, 10, 9. I think you have 9.
You have 9? Good. So we'll keep on going until we get 10. So the... So what I want to draw attention to is just the following two stories. You have here, you can. This is from Making of a Gadol, two stories that are brought down about Kol Isha, and he tells the following two stories in the introduction. He says that Rav Issachar Zalman Meltzer was going up the steps to his house, and he overheard the cleaning lady singing to herself while washing the floor. Rav Issachar Zalman went back down to the street and paced around for a long while until she had finished her work, and then he returned home. So he goes on to explain how one Rosh Hashiva understood this, and then he says, what's pshat? He says, Rav Issachar Zalman was concerned that when he would walk into the house, the woman who enjoyed singing while on the job would be inconvenienced by having to stop singing for the rest of her working time. Meaning, the woman is allowed to sing. I'm allowed to hear, says Rav Issachar Zalman Meltzer. And therefore he said, if I go inside and she's working in the house, she's not going to be able to sing while she works. And that's inconvenient for her. So Rav Issachar Zalman Meltzer said, better I stay outside the house and walk around the block so she can continue to sing, showing again what? That it's the man's responsibility. It's not her issue when it comes to singing. And then in the footnotes, he writes a very famous story. He says that Rav Ruderman was, when he came to America, in the 1930s, he was once invited to spend a Shabbos at the home of the Rav of Elizabeth, who was Rav Elazar Meir Prel at that time. And before his arrival of the Shabbos, the Rav took him aside for a confidential exchange of words. He told his guest, Rav Ruderman, that he had several daughters eating at the Shabbos table who enjoyed Shabbos by singing Zmiros along with him. The Rav told him that a certain Rav, who in the past we didn't know who it was, but now we know who it is, Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, had been a guest at the home sometime earlier. And when the girls began singing, he stood up and went out of the room, upsetting the daughters and humiliating the father. So the host, Rabbi Prel, asked whether Rav Ruderman would do the same. And Rav Ruderman replied that his Slabodka background, he would not destroy the family Shabbos spirit or embarrass his host. He would remain sitting and not listen to the girls. Rabbi Fran tells the same story on the tape as well, and saying this was the practice of Rav Ruderman in this context. I want to make one final point before we break from Arav, and that is that we live in a time where gedarim, where fences between men and women become less and less, and we look at the world around us and we see that not everyone in the world is behaving appropriately when it comes to issues of men and women, and there is a school of thought nowadays in Orthodoxy, or on the fringe of Orthodoxy, saying that, you know, Kalisha is not an issue anymore, it's not a problem, let's do away with it, not such an issue in our generation. And my answer to that is that we can only do better by keeping our gedarim. If we tear down the gedarim and the protections that men use for themselves in order in the public sphere when it comes to engaging with men and women, and we tear it down, we're only setting ourselves up for future failure. We have withstood the test of time to this point because we have kept our fences and kept the derabbanans and the laws of Chazal that have protected us to make sure we act appropriately in different times and places. And therefore, it is our responsibility to keep the whole package and not throw things out in order that we can protect ourselves and make sure we have proper differences between men and women in the public and private sphere.